Welcome to this podcast of sermons at CUNA United Methodist Church.
Good morning. A reading from the letter of James, the second chapter. What about Abraham, our father? Wasn't he to be righteous through his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? See, his faith was at work along with his actions. In fact, his faith was made complete by his faithful actions. And in the fifth chapter, brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of patient resolve and steadfastness. Look at how we honor those who have practiced endurance. You have heard the endurance of Job, and you have seen what the Lord has accomplished, for the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The word of the Lord.
Is it not working? Oh, there it's working. We had a little technical difficulties. So we are on a worship series on pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is the sacred journey. The journey is the point. The Camino de Santiago is a pilgrimage trail across northern Spain that has been used over 1,000 years. It is a trail to the burial of St. James the Apostle in northwest Spain. And last May, I walked 73 miles on the Camino Francés. And this worship series is inspired by the Camino de Santiago and the letter of St. James, where we are looking how walking that physical path reflects the spiritual journey that we are all on. We talked about how in pilgrimage, the journey is the point. How we all travel the same road differently. And today we're going to talk about how our way is made by others. It was true on the Camino and is true in the spiritual life. The Camino is that pilgrimage across northern Spain, and it began at a time when there were only two ways to travel, walk or ride a horse. And so what they called roads, we would call trails. And today, some of the Camino looks like a trail, and some of it looks more like a single-lane road. And this picture here is Teresa and I in an area where it kind of looks like a single-lane road. Some portions follow existing roads, which makes sense, from town to town, through towns. Other sections, it was a trail. In the last century, some of those roads have turned into highways, and they actually rerouted the Camino so that you weren't walking right beside a highway. Thank you, Spain. The trail that I was walking on here, it was built by others. Over and over, I saw signs of the way others had made the way. Some of the routes that we took were right through towns, but they were marked. Here is a marking from Saria, and you can see that pilgrim shell and the yellow arrow, and then another yellow arrow and another yellow arrow, so pilgrims know it's this way. And those made a big difference. There are other markers along the way that were like this, with the pilgrim shell and the arrow, and each of these markers had the distance to Santiago. So this was the marker that was exactly 100 kilometers from Santiago. And this one is another one, because they, was there the next one? This is another one. They were about every, I would say, 300 yards. They were relatively close. So it was pretty easy to tell if you were on the trail or not. One time we got off, we stopped for mid-morning coffee, and instead of going this way, we went that way. And within 5 minutes, we're noticing we haven't seen a marker. And we went back, and sure enough, we found the correct trail. There were other ways that they made it clear. You'd be walking along on, you know, a road, and they put these pavers that would show you the right way to go. Now, to be honest, I wasn't surprised to see all of this, you know, well-marked stuff along the way, because almost 500,000 pilgrims arrived in Santiago last year. An economy has built up
along the Camino route to support pilgrims, and that you know, where local folks are able to benefit from that. But there have been ways made by others that are way before this economy grew up. There are ways that have been there a long time. Northwestern Spain is a lot like the Northwest United States, like the Pacific Northwest. There's a lot of rain, it is lush, and it is wet. I lost count of how many streams and rivers we crossed. But every time we came to one, there was a way to get across. So if you can see this, there were a stone bridge has been built so the water can flow through, but you can just walk right across. If that wasn't there, the day would have been longer and more uncomfortable. And there was stream after stream after stream like this, where they had laid rocks you could walk across. And then there are the bridges. This is the bridge into Melide, and it looks pretty old. It really is. It was probably built in the 1100s, for sure, or earlier, because by 1200, historians have mention of this bridge, which is actually the Bridge of Furlios. And it was built for pilgrims. It was built for the Camino. There's a pretty good-sized river underneath. So that bridge made it possible for pilgrims to get across and not have to ford it or swim it or build a boat or whatever. So we walked across a bridge built for pilgrims almost 1,000 years ago. Our way was made by others. Pilgrimage is a sacred journey to a holy site. And folks who built those bridges, who made the Camino passable, in the Middle Ages were named as saints. Saint Dominic de la Calzada, who lived from 1019 to 1109, dedicated his life to the Camino. He paved sections of it, he built bridges, he built hostels, and he was named a saint for public works along the Camino de Santiago. So our way is made by others. It was that way on the Camino, and it is that way in the spiritual life. Scripture, the Bible, is a primary way that we receive faith. John Wesley, who founded the Methodist Church in the 1700s, brilliantly named the different ways that we come to know God, that we come to faith, that we now call the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. And it begins with Scripture, that Scripture is the basis. He called it the central, the living core of the Christian faith. And Scripture is those writings handed down to us from our ancestors in the faith. It is their witness. They had an experience of God, and they left a witness for us. And then there is tradition. Tradition are those practices left by our ancestors in faith that are not in Scripture. So things like our practice of Sunday gathering, like the Lord's Supper, like our Christian holidays, those are tradition. And then there is reason, our own ability to think about God and make sense of faith. And then there is experience, our heart and soul's experience of God, of the ways God has shown up in our lives. So two of these ways we come to know God are within us, reason and experience. And two of the ways we come to know God have been made by others, have been given to us by others. And so, who has made the way for you in faith? Who are the people who made the way for you on your faith journey? And then how are you making a way of faith for those who come after you? Our way in faith is made by others, by our ancestors in faith. In our reading, James hearkens back to the prophets. That's Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Amos and Hosea and all of those guys. They were, 2,000 years ago when James is writing, those folks were looking back to their spiritual ancestors, which for them were the prophets. Prophets practiced endurance, spiritual endurance. They had resolve. They were steadfast when times were hard. And they were faithful to God even under pressure. And they struggled just like all of us do under pressure. I love this passage from the prophet Jeremiah where we hear him struggling. He says, "You pushed me into this, God, and I let you do it. You were too much for me, and now I am a public joke. They all poke fun at me. Every time I open my mouth, I'm shouting, 'Murder, rape,' and all I get for my God warnings are insults and contempt. But if I say, 'Forget it,' no more God messages from me. The words are fire in my belly, a burning in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it any longer." I love this other translation where Jeremiah says, "I will speak in your name no more, but it burns like a fire held in my heart, and I grow weary holding it in." Has it ever been like that for you in faith? Because I think all of us, sooner or later, tell God to pound sand. You know, like, "I'm done. This is not working for me." And then it just kind of simmers in you. And God does not let go. God does not go away. And it just burns inside of us until we reconnect with the divine. That's how it is for us often. That's how it was for Jeremiah. He had endurance. He kept going. And we honor him today by naming him a prophet. Our way is made by others. Walking 10 to 15 miles a day with a pack was a significant physical act. Now, I'd gone through months of training. I'd grown strong. I had really good shoes. I had a pack that fit great. But you need a lot of food to work that hard. And every few kilometers, there was a little cafe along the trail, and they were always busy because we were not the only ones that arrived hungry and tired. And let me tell you, one of the things I noticed after we went to a few of these, every single little hole in the wall, every even convenience store had an espresso machine, wine, and amazing pastries. So that was lovely. And there were times when my feet felt like they had nothing left in them. My legs were done. The muscle fatigue set in, like I just couldn't move. And then we'd come to a little place, and we'd get something to eat, and we'd sit down and take the pack off and even take shoes off. And at first I thought, it's a little bit of an overkill, isn't it? We actually had a rule, had to be an hour, 60 minutes. And then the first day happened, and I realized, not overkill. That I needed that time, eating, pack off, sitting down, off my feet, even the shoes off, for an hour. And then it was different. I remember the first day, by the middle of the day, I thought, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end. I was moving slower and getting tireder and tireder. My energy was coming down and down. I didn't really hurt, but I was losing strength. I had fatigue. And then we arrived, had some coffee, had an amazing little pastry, took off my pack, sat down, and then I was recovered. I needed to eat. I actually don't think I've ever eaten as much in my entire life as walking those 73 miles because it just took so much fuel. And the Camino taught me to value rest and time off your feet. After that hour, when I stood up, my legs were different. I had strength again. I had energy again. I felt refreshed. It truly was a second wind. if I had hurried through resting, if I had not eaten, if I had stood or kept my pack on, my strength would have continued declining. Instead of being refreshed, my strength coming up, real rest. The Camino taught me to value rest and time off your feet. It was like that on the Camino, and it is like that in the spiritual life. There are times in faith when we are enduring and we are giving and we are doing service. We are pouring out for love of others. And in the spiritual life, we must fill up. We must be filled up through love of God and love of others. And it is in that balance that we can endure, that we persist, that we are sustained on our spiritual journey. Those bridges on the Camino, the writings left to us by our ancestors in faith, the way others have poured out for us, that's the way others have made the way, have made our way. And so we receive, we walk, we follow, we sit, we rest, we eat, we read, we listen, we celebrate, we pray. We receive, we are filled up, getting ready for the next portion of our spiritual journey. Would you pray with me? Lord God, you show yourself to us in the writings left to us in Scripture, in the traditions that we continue following. You show up for us in each other. You show up for us in creation. Lord, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want my path to be the one you have laid out, looking for your markers along the way, keeping me on the trail. Jesus, I need your wisdom of knowing when to rest, to be filled up, so that I can be part of your amazing mission in this world, being part of the kingdom of God. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And later today, we will follow an ancient tradition, a ceremony used for millennia as we share the Lord's Supper, where we share bread and wine that are bread and wine and more. It is a communion. It will be a communion with Christ and with each other, following an ancient way made by others.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is preached almost always by our pastor, Reverend Mia Crossway. CUNA United Methodist Church is a community on a mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. To support this podcast and the missional priorities of this church, go to cunaumc.org and click on Give. Any amount helps. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you things.